For a brief reading, please. Book of Acts, chapter 9. Nice to see you all remaining as the evening goes on. Acts chapter 9, please. And most know the text, so we'll just read a brief verse. Acts chapter 9, verse number 10. The young believer has trusted Christ at Saul of Tarsus. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Verse 14. The Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Notice this, the first words out of his mouth, Brother Saul. I'll read you the end of chapter 7 of this same book. You all know about Stephen's death and how he was martyred. At the end of the chapter, notice verse 58, cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Back to chapter 9 now to finish off here. Verse number 26. When Saul was come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen in the Lord in the way that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. Now notice the names here. Number verse 27, Barnabas. And of course, in the middle of the chapter, we have several references to this man, Ananias, in verse 10, and down a little further in verse number 11, and notice the name in verse number 11, Judas, and then Stephen that we talked about. 2 Timothy 4, to conclude, 2 Timothy 4, we're coming to the end of Paul's experience. He says in verse number 5 of 2 Timothy 4, But watch thou in all things. Obviously, he's talking to Timothy. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Down a little further, please. He's talking about assignments, and in verse number 10 at the end, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Notice a little further down, he is speaking about another man here. Maybe I'll just read the end of the chapter, verse number 20. Second statement, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum, sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter and the different experiences that he has. Now, notice one other name here in verse 12. Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Now the Lord will bless his word. One of the points that our brother Les was hinting at, he didn't say it in specific words, but I want to pick up on it. What he said was excellent in the passage, but you know, you see this man Peter, the power of influence that that man had is fantastic, and it's right in that chapter. He's saying, "Man, I'm going fishing," for example. And they said, "We're going with you." I want to talk for a few minutes on the power of influence as the meeting continues. I want to point out from Saul of Tarsus, the great apostle Paul, there were four men that influenced him in the early part of his life down here. Stephen, Judas, Ananias, and Barnabas. I could have read other passages, but we'll leave that. So the power of influence, what other people have on us. And then, before he leaves the world, the power of influence that he had on four younger men. They all begin with T. Did you pick them up? Timothy, Titus, Tychicus, Trophimus. So the power of influence is a two-way street. Others influence us, and we influence others. And so let's just very quickly go over this point. A person is known by their company. Let me address young believers for a moment. Same principle for all of us. See this man, Saul of Tarsus. There was a man dying that influenced him. All Saul had to do was to look at the face of Stephen, the first martyr of the church, and he recognized that that man has got something that I don't have. How do you know? Well, that's what the Lord told him. It is hard for thee to kick against the goads. That's the Holy Spirit of God speaking to the younger man as an older man leaves for eternity. And so, likely all of us, or most of us here today, the influence that others had on us before we were saved is amazing. I could tell you of older men in the old country years ago, and I used to listen to them as a young fellow, and they had a tremendous influence on what we were going to do with our lives. First of all, to be saved. I won't go over the conversion. But the man's only saved 72 hours at the most. Chapter 9 of Acts. Now where did he go? He arrived in Damascus and he went to a man called Judas. Not Judas Iscariot. He's in eternity. And that man lived in Straight Street. And I looked up Straight Street recently, and at this particular time, in the great city of Damascus, there was the main drag, as we call it, the main thoroughfare, the main street was called Straight. And this young convert moved in there, directed, no doubt, by God. Now let me use that as just simple material. You see, after a person gets saved, they move into Straight Street. And every realm of living, whether it's self, or business, or family, or assembly, or whatever, sadly today people are moving out of Straight Street. But God desires that every one of us should be a testimony to others as they see our lives by the grace of God. Now I could give you all kinds of examples, but I have to leave that. I asked myself, as I asked you, See, you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ today. Thank the Lord. Are you still living in Straight Street? Or have you a personal agenda hidden? We were always taught as younger men, what's the individual that has an ulterior motive? You can't judge motives, but you can see actions. They're not in Straight Street. They have their own personal agenda. So that's the very place that Ananias went. And I want to just pick up on this point. This young man is saved at the most, as I've told you, 72 hours. And he learns from a man called Ananias what the great future lies before him and what God has planned for his life. And I want to just come to the point. Can you see Ananias? I don't know if he went up the stairs or not, but he went to where the young convert was. And I love this. He says, Brother Saul. An older man to a young convert. Remember, he was a murderer. He was a persecutor. He was injurious. He was a blasphemer before the God of heaven saved his soul. What an encouragement from a younger man to hear from the lips of an older man, Brother Saul. He lightly embraced him. Doesn't say that, but he certainly acknowledged him. You talk about the power of influence. This young convert never forgot it. I'll tell you one thing. He never forgot how Stephen died. And he likely never forgot the days that he lived in Straight Street in Damascus. And now Ananias tells him, you're a chosen vessel unto me. You will bear my name before Gentiles, and you'll bear my name before the nation of Israel and great kings, and you'll suffer great things for my name's sake. He got the key right there for his life. Do you think that influenced him? All you have to do is watch his afterlife and what he wrote on his 13 epistles in the New Testament, and you'll find out that the influence of other men were outstanding as far as he was concerned. How about us? Are other people influencing us? Let me pick up on Barnabas. The young convert, we'll leave all the other verses out, comes to this place, and he's in the first assembly in the New Testament, and he's at Jerusalem, and he wants to be part of the company. But you know what? The disciples and the apostles were afraid of them, and they said, young convert, you're not coming in here. That tells me there's a within and a without of God's assembly. That's the history book of the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 5 and 1 Corinthians 14 make it beyond a shadow of a doubt that in every assembly gathered to his precious name, and we need to declare it in the housetops in 2009, as a within and a without of God's assembly. That's as clear as noonday. You see, they were careful with strangers. I want to point out that listening to all of this was a man called Barnabas. Barnabas is the son of consolation. We have already come across his name in the book of the Acts and all the sacrificial things that he did and the marvelous work he's involved there in the city, in Jerusalem, in the assembly. And he's saying, brethren, I know this young man. And he tells a story. Based on what Barnabas told him, the power of influence. He influenced those outstanding believers in the city of Jerusalem and the assembly to receive the young man. Remember, he's the apostle of the Gentiles. They didn't know at that point. Tremendous potential. And so we need discernment as to who we received and who we turn away. And it says he was with them going out. No. I want you to pause. He was with them going in, first of all, and going out to the assembly. Now let me just make a simple observation and move forward. We have dear people today, and they think that when they come to assembly life, that they're received to the breaking of bread. Now I want to tell you that the Bible teaches we're received to the fellowship. Acts 2 and other passages show that there's a continuing in the doctrine and the fellowship before the breaking of bread. And so we receive to the fellowship, and we receive to the assembly in 2009 to share the joys and the sorrows of Christian living in a New Testament assembly. And this young man is part of it, and he was glad to be part of it. And I could have read you chapter 11, but we can't take time to deal with that. But in the younger part of his life, the power of influence was obvious. Now let's make the application. See, you older folk here today, thank God for every one of you. Ask yourself this question. Now, we're talking on the human standpoint. See those people that met you in the early part of your Christian living? Had they not influenced you, would you be here today? I would like to respond and tell you that there were men that crossed my pathway whenever I was a young Christian in the old country, and I revere their memory. Many of them are home in heaven. And from a human standpoint, I wouldn't be here today. Only the power of influence. And let me put a plug in for the sisters. You know, one of the sisters that influenced me more than anybody else in my early Christian life was my own mother. And so the Bible teaches, Romans 14, no one lives to himself and no one dies to himself. Oh dear people today, younger folk, whoever you are this day, what influence are other people having on you and on me? Now let me just put the clock on. 30 years plus have come and gone from Acts chapter 9 to 2 Timothy chapter 4. The honored servant of Christ is now in his middle 60s, maybe 66, 67, or thereabouts. He's facing martyrdom. He'll soon be going into eternity. The time of my departure is at hand. I'm already being poured out like the drink offering. I'll soon be in eternity. And he's saying, man, I want to influence you before I leave. Now it's the other way. And the young man that was influenced by four older men is now an older man himself. And what's he doing? He's influencing younger men. Now I won't go over their histories. I've only a minute or two. I want to talk first of all about Timothy. I want to tell you something. Timothy will never forget Paul the Apostle. When he came on the first missionary journey in Acts chapter 14, he was likely saved. When he met them in the second missionary journey, chapter 16 of Acts, he went forward with the apostle. Oh, the power of influence on this young man. Here's what the older man said about him. I am no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. They all seek their own things, not the things that are Jesus Christ. See, we're talking from the human standpoint. I want to tell you that Timothy never forgot the older man, the power of influence of older people. How about it? Number two, Titus. I'll just pick up on one thing in his history. He was the man that was sent to Crete to preach the gospel of the grace of God, was used there to establish assemblies. He was later brought in to recognize those who were doing the work of overseership. Who was the man that influenced them in all of that? Paul the Apostle. He was a useful man. Humanly speaking, the apostle was the man that helped him, who went to Corinth and made a power of influence himself to the Corinthians. Well, 2 Corinthians 7 shows when he come back from Corinth, Paul bowed and thanked God that they bowed to the ministry of the first epistle. Who told him? Titus. Who sent him? Paul the apostle. How about Titulus? He's an interesting character. I just pick up on what we read there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Timothy is no longer in Ephesus. And now, as an apostolic delegate, as we call it, before Paul goes home to heaven, he assigns Tychicus to one of the strongest assemblies in the New Testament, the Ephesian company. There was wrong doctrine there. 2 Timothy 2 shows men were there that were displacing the resurrection, and it needed careful handling. Who did was the one that went? Tychicus. Who influenced them? The older people. Dear brethren and sisters, what influence are we having on our younger people? What influence do we have on our families? And of course, I have to say that to myself too. How about Trophimus? He's another T. You read the book of the Acts chapter 20, for example, and other sections, you'll find out that he was his companion in travel, fellow traveler in the ways of God. He was a very useful man. Paul was even blamed there in Jerusalem, and it was suggested that Trophimus, a Gentile, was brought into the court there, or of the Jews in the temple at Jerusalem. That wasn't a fact. It's a heresy. They ruined the testimony. The man was so useful, but now as life goes on and Paul is about to go home to heaven, he leaves him at Miletum sick. And if he's so useful, how come that he left him? My point is this. He had a tremendous influence on Trophimus. It would seem that the gift of healing was beginning to wane as the apostolic age got closer to the end of the first century, and the same gifts will disappear when all of the canon of Scripture is available. Now, have you got the drift here? Every one of us in this audience tonight, myself included, we're influencing people for good or for ill. I want to ask you, dear brother and sister, honestly, from my heart right now, when your name comes up, or mine comes up for that matter, what kind of an influence are we having on others? And what kind of influence are others having on us? It's a two-way street. Paul is one of the great examples of this. And so we thank God right now for former days. I look back at my life now, 51 years saved. I remember the dear man that helped us in the first year of Christian experience. They're all home in heaven. I can hear them yet as they would rise on a Lord's Day morning and bring us right into the presence of God. I can remember the overseer where I was received into Lower Windsor, yonder at Lisburn Road in Belfast, Northern Ireland. And he would say to me, "You're coming home to our house for lunch." I was only a few months saved. And he says, "I'm going to show you how to handle sick people and learn how to handle people in a sick bed." Those were tremendous days. And he says, "I'm going to show you how to read your Bible and how to get the best out of it." Dear older brethren, I want to ask you right now, is there any disciple in your personal life that you're trying to coach for God? We need every young man and every young woman that's around, and we need to stir our hearts today. That's what conferences are all about, to make, by the grace of God, determination to help our younger people. Sadly, in some assemblies, they just let them float and then somebody else influences them. God, help us to influence people for God because others influenced us. Time to be out of here. Thank you very much. Don't forget the power of influence. And another example is Peter in all his history. Thank you.